You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley, and you'd better get this party started. Are you ready to do this? I am so, so very excited to be joining you. This is something that's been a long time coming since I wrapped up my candidacy for Congress back in November. We've been talking about how do we take this energy and just keep it going, because it was never about Congress. It was always about how do we make a difference in our community. So it is just an absolute joy to be able to be here. I have to thank Todd Michaels, who is on the board and who has been behind this initiative. Todd, say hey.
Very happy that we're finally getting this off the ground and that you're part of the team here at WGBW and WISS. So welcome. Yes. Now do a good job. Okay.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, everybody's listening.
Oh, geez. I'm just a kid from Kakana. You know, like I was saying earlier, it's crazy. Like we've got this logo and my name is on this show. And like, I'm just a kid who grew up in Kakana, who when I would be listening to local radio and they would say Kakana, I'd get all excited. And now it's actually me on the show.
And you're going to have kids listening in Kakana that are going to see themselves in you, which is really cool.
Isn't it wild? And that voice is the voice of the amazing Emily Cephos, who's joining me today. Emily.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited that you are here. We're going to do a little, what's the name of that show that we're going to imitate?
The Delicious Dish.
Delicious Dish.
We talked about that on the mics. Yes. We'll try not to get too into it. I get real excited about it.
No, we're not going to do Delicious Dish, but we might accidentally sound like that.
I'll try not to. I've been practicing.
But you know, what we really do want to do is have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point of the show. It's not, you know, we hope you'll learn something. We hope you'll be entertained, but we really want to invite you to have this conversation with us. So as you're listening today, if you feel inspired, if you have ideas, you can always drop me a line on my socials, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I'm on all the socials, pretty much all the socials. You can find Emily on all the socials too.
I am also. Yes, we both live very much in a digital sense, which is great. Yeah,
I know. Mm-hmm. Do you ever wake up in the morning and you're like, I just don't feel like making a video today?
Yes, there's a certain responsibility. And I think it's the digital stuff and the in real life stuff, which I know you're doing a lot. You were in Illinois earlier today. You're doing it everywhere all the time. So there are days, yes, but the work continues and it fills you with a lot of purpose, I think. So, and that's why you're here. Probably starting the show.
Yes. And there's always something to talk about, you know, whether it's, I mean, we're going to talk about the election coming up here soon, but you know, whether it's that or education or healthcare or all of the things that are affecting us in our personal lives, that are affecting our families, affecting our communities.
Yep.
We want to talk about all of those things. And I want to be really clear. It's no secret. I'm a Democrat, but I'm so much more than that. And I have so many friends who are Republicans and so many more friends who are nothing. They just don't, because it's hard right now. So we don't want politics or one side to be a barrier to this conversation. Everybody is welcome. Everyone's opinion is respected. Mm-hmm. And we're going to listen to each other.
Imagine that.
I know.
Imagine. I know. And I think that's a good point, is that like we are Wisconsinites first and foremost that care about our communities and our family and our country. Mm-hmm. And when we operate with those principles as like our North Star, you can find so much more in common than we're being led to believe. And I think like you experienced that, I'm sure, through your congressional run. I experienced it at a smaller scale with my assembly run.
Yeah.
And it's like you hear those stories, you understand there's connections there and you can't stop. You know, like there's too much on the line because you know these people and you care about them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point.
I know.
Yeah.
Why?
So, so we just talked about not being political, but do you want to talk about the election a little bit?
I do. I was so excited. I mean, what a week.
Oh my gosh. I just can't. Okay. Well, here we are in the WGBW studio, one block away from the KI Convention Center. When I was driving here today, I was looking at the sidewalks and thinking, just a few short days ago, there were 1,000 protesters out here, peaceful
protesters.
Unpaid peaceful protesters.
Not bust in from anywhere. I knew those
right
people.
Right here. Yeah.
I ran into people I knew from New Holstein, from Marinette. People came from all over Northeast Wisconsin. And, you know, they were mad.
Mm-hmm.
They were shouting.
Yeah.
They were using their voices, but they were peaceful. They were safe. They were fair.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah. I really appreciated that.
I think that's really important, especially when you have a unelected billionaire trying to buy a Supreme Court state, our justice seat here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that they showed up.
I am too.
More of that.
Yeah. And I think regardless of how you tend to vote, just the tactics, you know, like standing up there with those big publishers, clearinghouse checks, and knowing now that they went to insiders, all those people who came thinking that this was like a lottery and there was a chance to potentially win $1 million and to know that it's all a grift. It's not for you.
No.
It's for them.
And then that's again and again, they're not helping your average Wisconsinite.
Right.
It is all an inside job.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to remind people of. And I think that Wisconsin resoundingly said, "You're not buying us today, Elon," which was such an incredible, I mean, they called that race at 8:45, which doesn't happen in statewide races typically here in Wisconsin. So
I couldn't believe it.
No.
I thought it was going to be neck and neck. I really thought we were going to go home from the little party we had at the Tarleton and not know anything. Mm-hmm. And I was astonished.
And I think I didn't know how the whole, you know, lottery kind of thing would play. I didn't know how the petition signing and the buying, you know, trying to influence people via financial means would play. But Wisconsin showed up.
Yes.
And showed out. And
yes.
Said, hell no, Elon. Yeah.
You can't buy us.
You can't. Our votes are not for sale.
Right.
Yeah. Really incredible stuff.
Yeah. I was just thrilled with the results. Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I'm here with my dear friend, Emily Cephos. We're chatting about last week's election, Susan Crawford, our new Supreme Court Justice, Elon Musk trying to take over Wisconsin, and how Wisconsinites showed up and said, we are not for sale.
Yep. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. And I think like it showed me, because we saw a shift to the left in every county.
That was shocking to me.
That map, I made it my wallpaper on my phone. I was like, look at that. Look at us. But I think it's the untapped potential that you see there. And I don't know. I think part of it was that it's a spring election. It's supposedly nonpartisan. We definitely had our democratically backed Susan Crawford versus Brad Schimmel. But it gives, I think, Wisconsinites in the polling booth like more permission to maybe cross that line, which tells me, going back to the connectedness that we all feel, that there's so much ground to be made up if we just show up in the right way in the next 18 months, that we are going to see incredible things in the midterms.
Yes.
And do it in a way that centers our shared values as Wisconsinites so that we can like move that needle in the right direction. I'm really excited. Like we said at the beginning of the hour, we're doing a lot of things, but it's so worthwhile. And I think Tuesday was a testament to that.
It was a huge testament to that. And it was, I think we turned a corner on Tuesday. Before the election, everything felt really heavy. Like we have no control. Things are just happening to us. No matter who you bumped into, there was something that was happening on a federal level in the state that was affecting us personally, whether we were veterans or parents or young kids in school. Everybody was feeling kind of uncertain, and hope was hard to come by.
Really, truly.
And I feel like that's changed.
Yeah, I think there's certainly, I mean, the world is certainly still on fire in a lot of ways when it comes to our federal whatever's happening.
And we'll get to that later.
Yes, we will. But I think, too, it was a little boost that a lot of us needed. I know I certainly was feeling a lot of anxiety coming into Tuesday, and I'm more like invigorated and ready to go than I have been for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people across the state are, too. So I hope you guys are there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're not, we're going to talk later.
We're going to tell you how to do it.
Yeah, later in the hour, we're going to talk about that too. You know what else gave me hope? Brad Schimmel's concession speech.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten so used to these ugly concession speeches where, you know, you refuse to accept the results or there's anger. I mean, remember Tim Michaels,
Dan Kelly.
Yeah. Like, we're out of here. Right. I mean, the guy who ran for Senate, whatever his name is, Hovde, same story.
Yeah.
So to hear the crowd asking for it, but to see him stand there and do the right, the respectable thing, that was honorable. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. More of that. would be great. And I think it's important that we give voice to that and acknowledge it. So well done, yeah. Brad Schimmel. Don't agree with much else about you, but good job on the concession speech.
And that's okay. This is, again, like, this is where we find our common ground,
right.
And where we try to reclaim the norms. The norms have been lost in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. Get back to a little bit of decency between us all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially at that level, because it's much, you know, it's well above where we're at, the grassroots. But to see it at that level is really important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where do you think we go from here? I mean, now we've got these lady justices.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting is it to have, we've got a higher percentage of women on our Supreme Court in Wisconsin than any other state.
Yeah. I love men. That sounds weird to say. Like, I mean,
I love men too.
But I mean, it is really powerful to see women that are intellects, that are compassionate, that are well-versed in the job that they were elected to do, and they're doing the right thing. They're upholding the law, and they are fighting for Wisconsinites. It is really cool to see women front and center.
Yeah.
Like, as, you know, somebody that's recognizing that for too long we've been left out of the conversation, and I'm just really excited.
And I know that, and we'll get to this later too, but we share the goal of making sure that our legislature also represents, looks like the people of Wisconsin. And right now our legislature is, you know, only 33% women.
I know.
And that's a record.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even like, I mean, of that, you know, moms too. Like, there's just so much of this has been inaccessible for so long for people that frankly aren't older dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to do what we can to remind people that there's a space for all of us at the table, and having different perspectives represented means that we're doing better for everyone in the state, not just for one group that maybe has a very certain experience.
I love that visual of, it's not like you get less pie. The pies, it can expand.
Yes.
And
I know.
To me, like, let's make a really, really
big
pie.
Let's make a giant pie. Yeah.
And now we're back to the delicious dish.
We said we were going there, and here we are.
Oh, my gosh. We've got so much to talk about. So I want to make sure that when we come back, we talk about what's happening on a federal level, how this race played into what's happening there, and how those things are affecting us right here in northeastern Wisconsin. And then later in the hour, we'll get to what's going on in the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting.
I know. It's really exciting.
Tell everybody again your show and where we are.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for the reminder. My name is Dr. Kristen Lierley. This is the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. And we are here at WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media Radio Network. Then you. People call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Hey, it's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, joined by my dear friend, Emily Sefos. And we are talking about the election, the Supreme Court election, and how this is affecting us,
right,
on a federal level.
Right.
Like, what are you, there's so much going on in the world. It's so chaotic.
It is. There's a lot of fires.
There are a lot of fires. Mm-hmm. And I know that you are talking with lots and lots of people who are personally affected by this. What are you hearing in the Appleton area?
We're hearing a lot of fear from a lot of people that, you know, whether it is tariffs and just how much money is going to be in their account available to them at the end of the month when they have to make rent and pay their bills with this Liberation Day tariff stuff. Medicaid is a big one that we've been talking about. Social Security. There's so much, and there's so many people that are desperate for information and for resources that exist locally, so that as these things are falling away federally, we can show up for each other in our own communities. And that's what we're trying to organize and really rally people around, is to explain what's happening and what's coming, and then show up for our neighbors. So
it's really hard, though.
It is.
Because, I mean, it's obviously hard when people around you are suffering, but it's really hard because we don't have a lot of that information, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at, you know, what's happening with Medicaid, we know cuts are coming, even though we've been hearing messaging that cuts aren't coming. Like, it's impossible to cut the money out of the budget in order to give the tax cuts.
Yep.
Without cutting Medicaid.
Yep.
So what does that mean? And who is going to lose their coverage? And if you lose your coverage, how are you going to get health care?
Right. It's interesting. We did a listening session in New London about a week and a half ago. And the purpose of that was to educate people about what Medicaid is and isn't, because people just don't know. And I think a unique perspective that was given at that was to say, what does this program cover? So it covers it covers a myriad of different programs that exist that if and when that funding goes away, they're gone.
Yeah.
And so we had to kind of explain to everybody, here's all of these programs that people, that whether or not you are active in Medicaid, oh, SNAP is covered by that. And certain transportations are covered by that.
Right.
And all of these different services and programs that keep people like living independently in their homes that need just a little bit of assistance, covered by Medicaid. And it's about educating the electorate. It's about educating our neighbors in part, because I think that's an important piece of it, because they don't realize. They hear Medicaid cuts. They're like, well, nobody I know depends on Medicaid.
And we should say Medicaid is called Badger Care in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So if you've heard about Badger Care, we're talking about Medicaid.
Yeah, but we also discussed like the economic impact, because Medicaid allows a lot of individuals living with disabilities to participate in our economy by working.
Right.
Right. And so they're just, you know, we've dehumanized this group to say they're a drain on the system. That's not true. There are plenty of people that are doing everything that they can and that they're supposed to do, that want to contribute and want to be more independent. And when we're threatening to rip that away from them, if we're not even looking at it from a humanity, what we should do for our neighbors kind of perspective,
right,
the economic implications of that are going to be huge in our local economy. So we wanted to make sure that that was discussed as well. But I think like that's a big part of it, is right now, as we're talking about these things, you know, falling away, it's connecting it to what's going to happen right outside your front door in ways you didn't even consider.
Right.
Yeah. It's an important thing.
We had a similar listening session out in Shawano. They put it together, the community put it together, and then they invited a few of us to come and just and listen. And there's not a lot that we can do. I mean, none of us were elected, but all of us care.
Right.
So as we started having these conversations, we were finding that one person would say, I'm really concerned about what's happening with measles. And someone else would say, well, where's our public health department? And then we started talking about, where is your public health department? You know, public health was a strong safety net until COVID happened. And as they exerted more of a presence, there was so much misinformation, disinformation, pushback, threats to people who were holding that fragile system together. We lost a lot of people. And out in Shawano now, there is one public health nurse for the entire county.
That's wild.
Isn't it crazy? And public health is so much stuff. I mean, it's not just like measles. It's like sexually transmitted infections and nursing home coverage and all of these things that affect really all of us. Like, public health is the foundation of our individual health.
Right.
So we started to brainstorm about it. There was another physician there, and we started to talk about, well, how can we as physicians come together? How can we bring our healthcare systems in? How can we help our public health nurses to figure out, you know, where we can.
Poor soul.
I know. Where can the community backfill to make sure that the resources that we need are here? Because I think especially when it comes to, I mean, what's happening with Health and Human Services, no longer called Health and Human Services.
Right.
Like, I want America to be healthy, but I don't think taking away resources is going to achieve that goal.
Right. And I mean, most recently, it's the LIHEAP. It's a program that provides heat, you know, to low-income individuals and stuff, which was covered under HHS. That entire, the faculty and the staff that ran that program, gone. And so now we're talking about folks that potentially are going to be without the assistance they need so that they can heat or cool their homes as we're experiencing, you know, the remnants of our winter heading into our hot summer months. Yeah, it's really scary. And I think that's a part, like, it's interesting because, you know, you and I are both ran races and mm-hmm. lost.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Doing the work.
Exactly. And yeah. I think that we need more of that. And I think that as our government, which is supposed to take care of our society and supposed to take care of the most vulnerable of us, because that's just what we need to be doing to function as a society.
I mean, isn't that the role of government?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's up to individuals to do it. And that's happening in northeastern Wisconsin, which is really heartening to see, and it gives me a lot of hope. So
yeah. Hey, I'm joined today by Emily Sefos. She is a mom. She's a former teacher.
Yep.
She's so many things. And most of all, she's right now a community organizer who is doing the work on the ground. And to be fair, we have some really incredible elected folks on the state side who are also doing the work.
Yes.
We went from having two state reps mm-hmm. and then with the new non-gerrymandered maps, we now have 5 state reps up in Northeast Wisconsin, and we're seeing them. They're so much more present than we had seen in the past, but there's so much more work to do.
Yeah. And I think, right, I mean, I am kudos to each and every one of you, because to be in the minority party is not mm-hmm. an easy thing, I'd imagine. But they're showing up. And I think the cool thing about the things that are happening in Shawano and happening in New London is that it's complementary. It's furthering their cause mm-hmm. and it's furthering what they're trying to do and what they're trying to push back against. So that's, you know, we need to show up where they can, because there's a finite amount of time and right. resources available to them. So we, the people, need to be showing up for our community. And that's what we're trying to do to help them out.
And by we, the people, you don't just mean you and me, right?
No. I mean, all the people.
Yeah. Oh, it's so, so important. All right, Emily, when we come back, mm-hmm. can we talk about Wisconsin? Like, what's happening in Madison? There are so many things that you and I have been talking about, like postpartum Medicaid extension. We're talking about schools. I mean, it's
budget season, baby. All the things to talk about. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So we're going to do that when we come back. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley with the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, WGBW and WISS on the Civic Media app.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress, Papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through. Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together. She was working in a topless place, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face, and the spotlight so clear. Later on, when the crowd's been down.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley. I am joined by my dear friend, Emily Sefos. She is so many things. She's a mom. She's a former teacher. She's an organizer. And right now, she is the life of the party as we are talking about all of the crazy stuff that's happening in the federal government and in the state. But before we talk about that, do you wonder why I picked Bob Dylan?
I do wonder why. I love me some Bob Dylan.
I have not really been a big Bob Dylan person, but I work in Hibbing, Minnesota, which is where he's from.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's kind of a whole long story, and I could do a whole episode about it, and maybe someday I will. But and my sister's a huge fan, and he's playing in Green Bay on Sunday.
Oh my gosh, this weekend.
This weekend.
Wow.
So obviously he's a legend. He's a Nobel Prize winner. He's absolutely brilliant.
Prolific songwriter. Like, really impressive. Very cool. Well, have fun.
I had no idea the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, he kind of has a sound, and it's not really like I'm not a folky person. Mm-hmm. But the more I listened to the lyrics, the more I was like, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I know. It's really. Have you seen his biopic?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'd like to.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah. All right. I'll check it out.
Yeah. Timothée Chalamet. He does a good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So back to business.
Okay.
We've already covered all the federal stuff. The state.
Oh, yes.
There has been one issue in particular. We're going to talk about a bunch of issues. We're going to talk about education. We're going to talk about healthcare. But one healthcare issue in particular, postpartum Medicaid extension.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. We're the only state in the country.
I know.
That takes healthcare away from new moms after 2 months.
I know, 60 days. And I remember, I'm a few years out from having had babies, but you are still in the thick of it at 60 days out.
Yeah.
And if you have underlying health issues, I mean, that is make or break, you know, at that moment. You're still healing. You're still sleep deprived. You know, there's so much going on there and your body's still adjusting to being a new mom.
I mean, it's hard, like on a personal level. Anybody who's had a baby, anybody who's been around somebody who's had a baby knows.
Yeah.
But also like the mental health issues.
Right.
You know, it really does take a full year for your body to recover from a pregnancy.
Yeah.
And when anytime we've got this maternal mortality review team in every state, we used to have it in every state, but with the changing administration, we're losing it in states. I know, but we still have ours in Wisconsin. So every time a person dies related to their pregnancy, we investigate those deaths.
Okay.
And we know that many deaths occur in that postpartum period, and 80% of those deaths are preventable.
Oh, wow.
So we literally know that if we extend Medicaid and give them a full year of coverage, we will save hundreds of lives.
That's so important. And yes. I think like what I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there is like overwhelming bipartisan support, like Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature, when it comes to all the organizations from the Catholic organizations that are supportive of this, and there's Planned Parenthood. Like it covers, there's so many people that see the value in this. So why has it not been passed?
You're right. It is a really strange group of people because you usually don't see the OBGYNs and the Catholics combining on this and Planned Parenthood. And it's a totally Republican bill. It was introduced by Republicans, supported by Republicans. Republicans are fronting this. Like we all want this to pass, but there is one problem.
Name that problem, Dr. Lyerly.
That problem is our Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss. And his reason is that he sees it as a handout and he doesn't want to give people a handout.
I'm so sorry, but says the gentleman, you know, who has never gone through this and wouldn't understand.
And has been married 3 times with no kids.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like that is appalling in and of itself. And my question is, how do we help to get this across the finish line? We Wisconsinites, we people who are supposed to be represented by this legislature.
And I think it's important to acknowledge what the barrier is. Anytime legislation is introduced, it doesn't automatically come up for a vote in front of all of our legislators. It has to be brought to the floor by the speaker, and he just refuses to bring it to the floor. So that's why he is the one barrier.
Right.
And he has actually sent it back to a committee there are a handful of people in our legislature that are not supportive of this for the reason that they think it's a handout. Mm-hmm. And that's the committee that they sent it to. It's the Wisconsin version of DOGE.
Right.
It's called
GOAT.
GOAT.
Yes.
But I prefer to call it GLOAT.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Because they do a lot of gloating in that committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting because I think a lot of us don't really understand the inside baseball and the moves that are sneaky and slippery that they utilize to kill things before they'd get to the floor and to kind of have it fade away so that because everything's happening at such a rapid speed that we're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll move on to the next fire kind of thing. But this is a really important one. It would literally save lives. It has the support it needs.
Yeah.
Just get it done.
Save lives of moms with young babies, young families.
Yes.
I mean, imagine a woman dies who has just given birth and what's left.
Mm-hmm.
How devastating is that?
Right.
So think about the individual impact and just like he's just being stubborn about that.
Yeah.
So how do you fix it? I mean, there's not like a procedural way. It's not like it comes down to like politics, putting pressure on Robin Voss.
I was going to say, can I offer my 2 cents as an organizer? Public pressure.
Yes.
Public pressure and doing it to make sure that your representative has signed on to this. And there are so many that have. Thank them if they have, but encourage them to give Robin Voss a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I will say that like on the ground, we are really trying to sound the alarm on that and make sure that everybody knows what's happening since there is such overwhelming support. But we just need to get public pressure to move that one across the line, I think, and make Robin Voss understand that his voters, his constituents and people across the state are ready to not be the only state that has not extended postpartum Medicaid.
Oh, it's so shameful. My representative is not supportive.
Oh.
I know. There are actually quite a few people in Northeast Wisconsin who are not supportive.
Oh, interesting.
Most of the rest of the state is, but yeah, there are a handful. So take a look. And if your rep is not supportive, your voice could actually be the voice that changes their mind.
Right.
So this is an opportunity.
It is.
To engage. And to your point, Emily, about how complicated all of this is, when we get this political messaging, it just seems so straightforward. You know, like just do this or just do that. Or this side is it. They position it like it's a football game. Either you're a Packers fan or you're a Bears fan. Mm-hmm. But it's never like that.
No, it's not.
There's so much middle ground and there are so many little ways to find agreement for the right reason. But sometimes our leaders don't want us to know about that because it takes their power away from them and gives it back to the people.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And I think it's that we prove this on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We, the people, still have the power if only we yield it, right? And so we need to be hypervigilant and we need to be very active in our own communities to remind our elected representatives, you actually serve us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're not going to show up, then we're going to vote you out. You know, then we're going to really call you to the carpet every single time. We're not going to let you forget about this because you are not doing right by our communities.
Right. And that's what we elected you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here with, this is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I'm here with my friend Emily Cephas talking about what's happening here in Wisconsin. Emily's an organizer. She's a mom. She's a former teacher. You're a former teacher.
I am.
You've been talking about education a lot.
I have.
Yeah. Education is hard right now. We got lucky. We re-elected Jill Underly.
We did. Mm-hmm.
So she's our school chief. She's our superintendent, and she is very dedicated to public schools. This was a good choice for Wisconsin, but it doesn't solve all our problems.
It does not. No, we are still chronically underfunding our public schools. 93 districts went to referendum on Tuesday, meaning that they are begging their communities to increase their property taxes to cover the shortfalls because they have been operating on a shoestring budget for over 15 years because the state legislature has not increased funding in a way that is reflective of increasing goods and services and inflation. So it's just pulling pennies from the couch cushion kind of thing. There's a lot of issues, but the reality and the long and short of it is that we are underfunding our public schools. And then there, to your point, transparency in what you're doing in Madison, you're not being honest with us by saying we're underfunding them. So they're going to ask you to increase your property taxes. And it's this whole kind of game so they can campaign on certain things. And I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of our schools and our kids being on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, again, rural, poor areas are disproportionately affected.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in De Pere, you're in pretty good shape.
Right.
If you live in Oregon, south of Madison, where you have a ton of money and a ton of resources and really engaged folks, you're in pretty good shape. If you live in, I mean, name it.
I mean, I will say like Hortonville. I mean, it's a more suburban district, but it's a big district.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the property taxes that they need, like their base-wise, to be able to cover things like that. You have a lot of districts. Watertown, I know, didn't pass their referendum on Tuesday. And I had teachers reach out to me that said, I don't know what I'm going to do. They're anticipating having to let go 12 to 16 different teachers to help to make ends meet for them. And like, that's what I have a problem with, is that we've demonized our public schools. And, you know, you hear, I'm sure, throughout your campaign, you heard a lot of misinformation about our public schools and about our teachers being maligned and all this stuff. It is a concerted and purposeful disinformation campaign so that they can continue to starve them of funds.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's going to leave our poorer districts, our more rural districts behind. And
it already is.
And it's just, it's not the right way to fund our public schools, which are supposed to be serving every single kid, no matter what. And I'm tired of the inside baseball, lack of transparency kind of thing from our local representatives.
Yeah.
So really trying to sound the alarm on that. And I think that the whole patchwork that you put together via referendums, to your point, depends on that tax base. And so it's just not equitable. And if we're not going to use the word equitable anymore, it's just not fair. It's not right.
Yeah.
And it's not about like blue or red or Democrat or Republican. It's doing the right thing for our kids.
Another thing that I've heard from people is, well, I don't have kids in the school system, so why should I pay for this referendum?
Yeah. I mean, that's an argument to be like that people make all the time. And I would say back to them, there is an economic impact that you will see now and you will see down the road for the kids that are well educated within your community. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to contribute more. They'll be able to purchase more. They'll be starting small businesses and things like that. If we leave them all behind, you're either going to pay for it now or you're going to pay for it in a different way down the road.
Right.
And we need to remember that that investment is worthwhile.
It's not about your kids.
I know.
It's about your community.
Your community. Yes. Right. And having a wide enough lens to understand that none of this exists in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. It all bleeds into every other aspect. And whether it's talking about the way that we operate as a like healthcare with the work that you do or the way that we fund our public schools, these are societal things that must exist.
Yes.
So that we can, you know, we can function.
Yes.
And that we're, you know, ultimately our economy is better. All this stuff. It's, again.
We all do better
when we all do better.
We didn't plan that.
We did not. No.
That was delicious.
That was. We're back to the delicious dish.
You know, my oldest son is a public school teacher here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. He teaches middle school music, which is like general music. So it's like all the kids who did not choose band or orchestra or vocal music. Mm-hmm. And he was really nervous about taking this job, but he kind of loves it. And I think it's incredibly beautiful to watch him work and to hear how he talks about his kids, because he knows that it's not about them learning music. It's about them using music as a vehicle to learn how to coexist in the world. Mm. You know, school is so much more than just, the subjects are important, but it's all the socializing and the community integration and bringing in businesses and local food. And like, schools are the pillars of our community.
They're the backbone. That, I mean, it's where you congregate, it's how you operate. And you consider, you know, our smaller towns, like that is the epicenter of everything that happens.
Yeah.
And when those go away or they can't function as they need, we're doing a disservice to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my high school, they're 5-time wrestling champs, state wrestling champs, 5 times in a row.
Oh, Kakana.
I know.
I did not know that. Look
it's true.
That.
It wasn't that good when I was there.
Oh, well.
But they are now. But I'm connected to that because that's what schools do. They connect you to your community. Hey, when we come back, Emily and I are going to wrap it up by telling you, by sharing with you some resources about how you can engage and elevate our communities together.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
This is Dr. Kristen Lierley with the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Our mothers and fathers throughout the land. And don't
welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with my dear friend, Emily Sefos, mom, former teacher, organizer, uplifter.
Yep, I love it.
That's
Thank
a
you.
New one. That, I just added that.
I appreciate it.
We've been talking all hour, first about the election and how it has impacted us on a federal level and a state level, some of the things that are happening in the state house. If you missed any of this conversation, of course, you can find the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. It's crazy. There's
You're
a
everywhere.
Podcast with my name on it.
I know. Congratulations.
This little kid from Kakana like could have never imagined that.
And look at you. Look at you today. Inspiring other little kids from Kakana to rise up and do the things you're doing.
You could do wrestling or you could do a podcast.
Right. The possibilities are endless, Kakana.
Yes. But if I could just add, or basketball or football, they're pretty good at sports.
That's true. The and ghosts, right?
The ghosts.
Yes, the ghosts.
Scare them to the left. Scare them to the
right.
Oh,
wow.
Sneak up behind them and poof, they're out of sight.
Oh, I like that one.
You like that?
That's like the banana split is the one I know that it has the same like rhythm. But I like the ghost and the scaring. That's cool.
And the most important thing is that no matter what, you just got to beat Kimberly.
Oh, there's a rivalry there. See, I'm from Slinger, so I don't know all the Kakana Kimberly beef that might exist.
We'll get into Slinger with our next episode.
Okay, great. Can't wait. I'll tune in.
All right. So we've been talking about all this heavy stuff, postpartum Medicaid and schools and all the chaos happening. So many of us feel powerless and hopeless. Feeling a little bit better now after the election, like the power of the people does make a difference. But how?
How do we do it?
How do we keep at it?
Yeah. That's a good question. I actually, so I wrote an article for Dan Schaefer with the Recombobulation Area, which is also on Civic. But it talked about the power of protest and where we need to do yes and, in my opinion, because I know that coming—
What does that mean? I hear that a lot. Yes and.
You do the protests in this, in what I'm talking about now, and you do the organizing on the ground, like happened in Shawano and happened in New London and is happening across Northeast Wisconsin, because I think it's the showing up for our community, explaining things, offering assistance, and kind of chipping away and eroding away at the stronghold that historical Republicans, like that party has on them. Because right now the reality is that they're doing a disservice to all of us. Yeah. No one's going to get out of this unscathed in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
And we need to remind them of that and not let any spin happen that makes them not privy to the fact that they are actively working against their lives and livelihoods, regardless of who you are. And I think that's what we do. So it's about showing up, you know, like on April 5th, there's the National Day of Action this weekend.
Yeah.
But we also need to be doing the things in the in-between. Mm-hmm. And whether it's in real life or online or anything like that, it's pushing back over and over and over again.
Yes.
And making sure that you are speaking the language of your people, in that we are showing up in a way that resonates with Northeastern Wisconsin. And we are connecting with our neighbors over the next 3.5.
And it doesn't have to be monumental things.
Oh.
I mean, it could be interactions at the grocery store. I think of it as when I'm talking with a patient and we're in a room, I don't screen my patients according to their values or ideals or religions or anything. You know, I'm like, welcome, let's talk about your problems and let's solve them. And it's such a great opportunity to see people where they truly are without the propaganda and the social media and all of the other things, because it's a trust environment. And I think that is the thing that you have done so beautifully, Emily. When you ran for assembly in District 56, you went out into those communities and you knocked on people's doors and you had conversations in places where they felt comfortable, and you talked about things that they cared about, and you talked about ways that we can work together to solve those problems.
Right. And I think But I think that through that, we find that we have so much more in common than we're being led to believe. And that's what I said on every single door. Mm-hmm. We're being manipulated to say you are either a radical lefty or a MAGA Republican. Most of us live in the middle. Life is messy. And so we just need to get back to that. But it's up to us to remind our neighbors of that through little interactions in the grocery line or at church or your place of worship or whatever, or at a Brewers game or whatever it is this season. But also like showing up and having those community conversations to talk about, like, you know, this stuff's going to hit home. So how do we show up for our neighbors, and how do we make sure that everyone's operating with the same set of facts? Because I think that's a big part of it too.
100%.
Yeah.
Showing up at that level, but also stepping up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're at that time now, like we're looking at the midterms.
Oh my gosh.
In 2026. I know. 579 days.
Please stop.
We're taping on Thursday, so 579 days until the midterms, which it seems like it's far off, but it also does not seem like it's far off, because this is the time to start planning and thinking about what's important to me. And I know for you and for me, when we ran for public office, we didn't do it because we wanted to serve in this role, and that was like the biggest goal. We did it because we wanted to make a difference in our community.
Right.
And that's why we're still doing the work.
Right.
We're always going to be doing the work. This is just who we are.
I think it's like unique too, and because we cultivated, and a large part thanks to your leadership, cultivated this network and this team that exists in the Northeast right now. And I think the really cool thing about it is that none of us really faded away. You know,
it's crazy.
Yeah, we had Alicia Saunders showed up at the Joint Finance Committee listening session in Kaukauna, and she carried with her the voices of the people that she met during her campaign yesterday. Like, that's incredible. And I think that the way that you're doing the work that you're doing and sounding the alarm on all of the things that are affecting Northeast Wisconsinites, huge. And we need more of that. But no matter if you ran for public office or if you're a Wisconsinite that is, you know, has limited time and just feels like they need to do something. And remember that you have incredible power to connect with your neighbors that nobody else has. There's no, and I said this during the campaign, and I'll say it again, there's never going to be an ad that's going to speak to the people in your town, in your community, that's as powerful as you are,
right?
Talking to the people.
Yes.
So embrace that. Step into it. We got to do more of that.
That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
We are of Northeast Wisconsin. We are talking to you, our friends in Northeast Wisconsin, and we want to know what's troubling you. What do you want to hear? What kind of a conversation do you want to have with us? Because that's what this is all about.
Right.
Emily, in the last minute that we have, share your social media, share any final thoughts that you have from this extraordinary conversation we've had.
Most of my social media is just Emily Cephos for Wisconsin. So I'll be active on there in trying to, you know, simplify what's going on, but also how you can show up in your community. And I will say, step into your power right now.
Yes.
Wisconsin, because we prove that we have incredible power on Tuesday. Utilize it. Don't shy away from it. Don't shy away from the power that you innately possess with your own connections. And let's move this thing.
The people of Wisconsin have spoken. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining me today on the inaugural Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Come back anytime.
All right.
All right. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. Thank you so much. If you missed our conversation, find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are.
WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app. Jump around.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.